Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. All right, the news today, and we will certainly dive in and talk about it if you're just joining us, however you're accessing the show, whether it's your smart speaker, you are listening online, or you are in your car, wherever you are. Brian Snicker stepping away. It's a decision that he came to, he said, just a few weeks ago. And the Braves will be looking for a new manager, but he will not return. And it's something Mike and I spent a lot of time on today. If you missed our interview with Brendan Gaudin earlier, the voice of our Braves on FanDuel, Brendan really had some interesting things to say in regards to the kind of man that Brian Snicker is, but more importantly, why his players love him. And Mike, part of this is, and he's been getting, look, we're giving him his flowers today, guys. We'll figure out where the Braves are going to go. But Mike was saying, you know, when you talk about the job he did, and we're going to talk Falcons here in a sec, but the job he did guiding us through that World Series, one of the best things we've ever seen.
I mean, we can talk about, you know, legacies, and it's funny, we'll get into it, because I've irked some Bobby Cox fans by saying that Snitker did more with less, and Bobby Cox did less with more. And I'll explain that in a minute. Stay tuned. But this guy never had great pitching. He had to manage, even in 21, you didn't have like the four or five solid rock star solid starters. You did have the night shift, and he managed that bullpen masterfully. But as you said, whether it was starting with the Brewers, through the Dodgers, and out of the Astros, when to use Soler, when to move him up in the lineup, when to move Rosario up or down, the way he called it. And I love the fact that Snicker was a combination of, yes, they give him the data, but he wasn't locked in, Carl, to the analytics. It was a combination of analytics and gut. And 21 is one of the more, I mean, honestly, perfect managerial postseasons in Major League Baseball history.
The crazy thing about our Braves is we're only hiring our fourth manager since Bobby Cox resumed the post. That was 1990. He managed the team until 2010 before Freddy Gonzalez took over, and then, of course, Snicker's first opportunity. So there's been a lot of stability with this organization when it comes to the managerial post. But again, Snit won a lot. I just like the way, ultimately, that he grew into the job, man, because when he got this, a lot of people said he wouldn't be here long. He was going to be a couple of years, and these guys would grow without him, and we needed somebody to come in here and win. We needed somebody to come in here and knew how to win. Snit did that, and so we congratulate him. Snit, job well done, man. Mm. We love you. You will be missed, but I know it's an opportunity for you to spend more time with your family. And by the way, if you're going, what's he going to do, Mike? They said an advisory role.
Now, again, it's a nice way of, you know, saying he can swing by the ballpark and poke his head in, say hi to the guys. It's the gold watch kind of job title, or, you know, when you see a professor emeritus at your favorite university. And that's great. It's out of respect. And, again, you and I were debating last week, are they going to show him the door? Or did he do some soul searching, as he said? We'll take Snicker at his word and said, you know, now we got down to brass tacks, it was time to move on.
All right, more on this coming up. And we'll let you hear what Snit had to say today as they had this press conference. And the Braves have some major decisions to make, not just now with players, but also with the manager situation. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, let's talk about our Falcons. It is the bye week, but it's not a non-work week, guys. We still have work to do. Raheem was asked about what he wants this team to do if they want to make any changes schematically. Now, I would ask you, Falcon fans, do you want to see anything change schematically, offensively with what we're doing, defensively? In the two games we've won, you could say, well, the offense was okay in one and was really good in the other. The Vikings game, they were okay. We still were in that point where we hadn't scored a touchdown. Last week, the offense was off the chart, 34 points. I thought everybody was effective. But if you're going to change something, now's the time, Mike. If you're going to go back to the well and go, all right, here's some things we can do. Here's what Ross said about it.
You always want to study yourself. You always want to go out there and be able to look at those things. And obviously, you can add some things. You can take some things out. You can do better at some other things. So, like, you never want to say you don't want to add anything, because always something that you want to add that you've been thinking about, you talked about over the last couple of weeks, that you're like, hey, we won't put it in this week, but maybe do it during the bye. Some things you want to maybe explore a little bit and just talk about and think about. But it's definitely a chance to go back and look at everything that you've done from all three phases of the ball and find out what you can do better and what you can add to it, or what you can take out, what you don't like. So, like, it's always a good time to look at those things and do those things. It don't really matter how early it is, but that's a nice 4-week sample of some things you can do better.
One thing I don't want him to do, Mike, is don't stop throwing Kyle Pitts the ball.
Yes, I need more Pitts in my life. Pitts has been open. We've talked about, you know, the marginal role that the tight end had in the Rams offense that Zach Robinson was a part of. And I'd like to see more of it. I mean, we've seen Pitts, the ability to show what he did down in Tampa last year with Cousins. You've seen it now. He's been open for multiple touchdowns. Whether Penix isn't looking that way, or with the flow of the play, and Archer's talked about some of that, I don't think you can fault Penix with not executing. He's doing the work. So let's get Pitts more involved with Penix. And Penix talked about him all the way back to camp. And I think that's one thing, is Mooney still finds his way through this injury and now a hamstring on top of things. So, they, again, the good news is, as much as we hate an early bye week, it really seems to be just the thing for A.J. Terrell, for Darnell Mooney, to a lesser extent, because we really haven't complained about Wilkinson, right, at right guard.
Nope.
But Storm Norton also, you know, rest up with his injury with the ankle. But getting back to the initial point, you know, Mike Smith, what's the old line? Self-scout. So hopefully they'll self-scout, because Buffalo is going to be maybe looking for Bijan out wide. How do you then pivot off that and get some other guys open? I just think Bijan is the ultimate weapon, and even if you get a guy in place to stop him, he's going to beat a guy one-on-one. That's Bijan's game, and he's a superstar.
What about the special teams, though? What about that? What if you were going to ask me right now, this is the area this week I want to see them improve on, whether it's changes in personnel up. Mike, you said you didn't necessarily like some of the starters being out there. But when you're, you know, you got 53 guys on a Sunday, it's kind of what it is. We know, you know, Jesse Bates was playing special teams. Xavier Watts got hurt last week. He was fine, but that's what Mike was mentioning. Mm-hmm. But we got to tighten up. We can't have the penalties. We can't have the miscues. And Ra even talked about it. If you talk about improvements, what do you want to see done on the special teams during the bye week?
You know, special teams, it's like, let's keep growing. Let's keep getting better, right? Our field goal team did their job yesterday. That was awesome. And then also, our coverage units have really been outstanding, other than outside of that one from yesterday. They've really been outstanding when it came to coverage. And now, how do we get some of our return game going? You know, we got a little bit going yesterday with the kickoff return. And then hopefully Agnew coming back yesterday will spark some of the punt return things for us, and we can get some of those stops. So you always want to keep improving and keep going. But really, you just build off your natural things that you have and what your identity looks like, and making sure it's coming out on tape.
And I guess, you know, when we do the injury report, we don't necessarily generally mention all the guys on the injury report. We go for the bigger names.
Yeah.
But those guys that on that injury report have affected special teams, because we've given up too many big plays. So I guess the next man up isn't that good at tackling, because, man, we're flipping the field, unfortunately, the wrong way, and guys are getting big returns against the Falcons. So, I mean, you've got to tighten that. That's I would imagine that's one of the top things on, if there's a whiteboard, right, in Raheem's office.
It's top thing.
That's got to be there, right?
It's got to be. Mike, let's talk about what's going on around the league here on Dukes and Bell, because a couple of teams that we're going to see in a few weeks, Mike just said to me, I wish we were playing them now.
49ers have got injuries up and down the roster. And by the way, Marquise Williams is the special teams coach. Sorry, I was brain farting.
He is.
That's a guy, like, if you're holding Ike Hill, you hold him to the same accountability. 49ers are missing a ton of guys. Your favorite player, Brock Purdy, is out.
Again.
And the 49ers, you know, they just lost to the Jaguars, if you didn't see that game. And that's one where, you know, Robert Saleh and everybody was losing their minds. Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings are out. So who's going to catch the ball? Right, for Mac Jones.
Well, Ayuk has been out too. No Kittle. They are down to bare bones.
Debo's in D.C.
When you talk about who they're throwing to. So this is going to be an interesting game. Now, it's a division game. I mean, it's the Rams. Shanahan and Sean know each other very well. But Mac Jones has looked good, Mike. I mean, this is the Thursday night game, and part of this game is going to be about who the 49ers don't have. And they got off to a 3-0 start. Two of those coming under Mac Jones. Who?
Mac Jones.
So the kid is thrown for 563 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 pick. He's played fairly well. I'm never going to count the 49ers out as long as Shanahan's there, because he'll come up with some scheme, Mike, and they'll do some things, and there'll be a guy we don't even know who will run for like 85 yards, and you'll be like, who is this dude?
Dude was working at UPS the week before, and all of a sudden now he's running for 120. That's generally how it works.
So I'm writing that down. That means Carl's taking the 49ers.
Whoa. You said the number changed. It was 3, and now it's what, it's 7.5?
It opened at 3.5, and now it's up to 7.5.
Yeah, because of these injuries. But
Point is, guys, we're going to see these guys in a few weeks, and it'll be our luck, Mike, that all these guys will be back. Like, they'll get all these weapons back, and everybody will be healthy when we see them. And look, you have no control over that. If you're playing good, it doesn't matter. But this is the timing of the schedule that we talk about all the time. It is our bye week. Actually, I think it comes at a good time. When the schedule came out, we were like, I don't like it early. Okay, I kind of like it because we need A.J. Terrell back. I'd like to get Storm Norton to have that depth back at the O-line, but these guys are really banged up.
Interesting fact, the Bills had only allowed 18 sacks in 20 regular season games since the start of 24. They gave up three more without Spencer Brown out there on Sunday. So we talk about our young defensive front and Jeff Ulbrich. I mean, we spent so much time, we talked with Wes, because obviously when you talk about the Bills, you talk about stopping Josh Allen. But all of a sudden, you know, you look at the offensive line, they say they've been so healthy. One of the things we've had, you know, in 16, kept that group together the entire season. But Sean McDermott said that the guys that are banged up, Brown on line, Milano at linebacker, Oliver on the D-line, they're heading in the right direction. Again, are they going to get healthy in time? They play the Patriots
this
week.
That's right.
And then we get them, of course, on Monday night.
All right, guys, a lot more to get to, including more on Brian Snickers stepping away as the team's manager. But when we come back, big news potentially regarding the Big Ten, and it tells you where college football is as Lane Kiffin chimed in on Kirby Smart going for it on fourth down. It's not dissing him. He's just talking about from a coaching perspective, he understands what that was all about. And Kiffin also saying the days of the bigger teams in the SEC having a dynasty are over. We'll dive into that coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
More on Brian Snicker coming up, stepping away as Braves manager here in less than 8 minutes. Want to remind you guys that after every Falcon game, the Falcon Flyover is on. It's your first chance to call in and react to every Falcons game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Greg Sankey, you better get to work, because the Big Ten is in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse, wait for it, $2 billion into the league and its schools. The discussion includes a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046. And according to sources, the private capital deal and the grant of rights extensions have been discussed for months. So here's the thing, Mike. They have discussed it with all the schools. Everybody's in favor, except right now, Ohio State and Michigan.
Shocking.
So they are still in discussions, right. And that's funny because, of course, they're the two big dogs.
That's the Florida State-Clemson argument as far as we get a bigger piece of this $2 billion because we're the only guys people watch.
That's right. So either way, here's the terms, and I put that out there, and I'm being serious. If this happens, they have a distinct advantage over the SEC, and that's something that you don't want. Now, who's to say that Greg Sankey and company are not talking about this? But if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, how are they going to make money? The private capital company would get money back through the new entity through annual distribution in proportion with its financial stake. So the Big Ten essentially will have 20 equity shares comprising of 18 schools, the league, and its investors. And by the way, it's called Big Ten Enterprises. But guys, this is on the table. And if you don't think that's a big deal, remember, schools are now paying players. You've got middle-tier schools in every conference that are not making the money of Ohio State or Michigan or Georgia and Alabama. Same thing in the SEC, and you're going, How can we compete? How do we create stability?
Well, that's just it. I mean, the downside of this, and this is the argument, remember when Florida State was doing that ridiculous lawsuit with the ACC that was a waste of everybody's time?
Yep.
And there was some booster that said, I get it. We'll bring private equity in. So what happens when private equity says, all right, we got to take money now from the girls' softball program to put it in the football program because we got to beef up the football program. Or Coach X has got to get fired. He's not good enough.
Because they have more say.
Because now the tail wags the dog.
Yes.
And that what happens when Big Ten, the equity company says, you know what? Purdue doesn't really fit our profile. I mean, I know that a lot of astronauts went to Purdue and Drew Brees went there, but it really didn't fit our profile. You know, just like some would say that, you know, Vanderbilt up until recently wouldn't have fit the SEC's profile. So,
Mike, I don't like this.
You can if you do it right. You know, it can rise the rising tide, raise all the ships. But that's the downside. Private equity, it's profit driven. So if somebody's not cutting, they'll cut you adrift. So that's why I think it's a very dangerous precedent for leagues to get into. And the worst part of this is the SEC might be forced to follow suit and then have some of those conversations I just mentioned to you. And then we do get our Super 50. And then all that's left is 50 teams in college with the big action, and everybody else has a subdivision, and that'll be football.
Unfortunately, and I say this because I believe in separation of church and state, but I also believe in separation of college football and private equity.
Hell yeah.
And when you start to go down this road, again, you can tell me, just like Mike saying, hey, we can do this right. It's not that. It's at some point, might not even be in the first few years, that somebody's going to want more control than they initially had. And because of the money that's being invested, they are going to then wield their power. And how does that change for these schools, more importantly, for these athletic programs? That's the danger. And I don't like it, but I know this has been talked about for some time. And then to see this, Pete Thamel, by the way, is reporting this along with Dan Wetzel. And they're like, yo, this is something they're talking about. But the funny thing is, if Ohio State and Michigan are not on board, this is not going to happen. Okay, and you say, well, what's it going to take, Mike? I don't know what their number is. Somebody's sitting there at the table going, "Well, here's our number.
Here's what we generate revenue." Like Florida State had 4 million viewers against UVA on Friday night. That was the argument about a bigger piece of the pie. Now, as Georgia Tech gets better and Brent Key makes it more viable, and they go deeper into a postseason, their brand is increased. Their brand is more viable. The recruiting, you know, everything we just talked about continues, and now they're self-sustaining. But until that time, it's almost like the haves and the have-nots. So just real quick, put it in perspective in the SEC. Do you really want as a team to have a combination of Bobby Lauder, remember Auburn's old godfather, and Gordon Gekko in charge of your program? You know,
Greed is good.
We ran the numbers, and we've decided to liquidate so-and-so. You know, we've run the numbers. We feel that this your offense doesn't fly anymore, and we need to go to a – these are the things that would happen. They would dictate these things. And if you don't think that's – if you think that's a fantasy, no. It's going to be profit-driven, and the dead weight will be cut loose, just like when people get to – they take over companies and they liquidate them.
Well, and it's funny because everybody's like, yeah, this is great. It'll be great for our school. Until it's not. And that's the problem. You know,
everybody talks about, well, they want a footprint in the New York market. Watch Rutgers get cut loose in a heartbeat. Because it's about who generates the revenue, who generates the interest, the ratings.
No doubt.
And who's and ultimately who's successful, who's taking this money and using it the right way.
You guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. More on Brian Snicker here in a bit. Mike, let's talk about Lane Kiffin because he chimed in on the fourth down play. By the way, we've had time to simmer down. Simmer down now. Did you change your mind?
Nobody likes this play. Even if it works, nobody likes this play. Nothing against Cash, but it's like, you know, five other guys you want to see with their hands on the football in that moment. I'd rather see Gunnery and rolling out, but it's the sequence, the way it looked, because you have you're depending on two freshmen to execute in time critical mode, right?
Yep.
And one guy let the Kool-Aid man bust in and blow it up.
No doubt. Here is Lane Kiffin talking about it. And again, he's on his coach. They were talking about this. This has been a conversation around college football. But Ole Miss is coming. They'll be here in a few weeks to take on Georgia. But here's what his thoughts on Kirby going forward.
When you go really fast, like what Kirby eventually did there, he had to make the decision what to do, and then he must have told it to the coordinator, and the coordinator said, okay, run, gas, whatever, you know, put everybody into the boundary, run the zone play. And Coach Saban used to talk a lot about, like, there's two philosophies there, and you can go big, and you can go slower, and then you can get the right looks, because you have time to check and go away from different looks, but you also got to block a lot of people when you do that.
And that's, you know, look, Lane was asked, he answered, you know, and there's a schematic from a pretty good offensive mind about what the drawbacks are of going down that road for fourth down.
No doubt. And this is not Kirby saying I wouldn't go for it, because he said 10 out of 10 times he would go for it. But it's the procedure in which you did it. That is what we're questioning, and that's what's going to be continued to be questioned. Now, I said to Day-Day, Mike, Big O, I'm telling you guys, if the Georgia Bulldogs win the national championship, we don't give a damn about that fourth down. It won't matter. But when you're struggling in a game where, hey, every down, every possession matters, and this is a game-changing moment, everybody's still being very critical of it. Meanwhile, Mike, Lane Kiffin, speaking of Kiffin, said dynasties are over in the SEC. He said for the bigger schools like Alabama, and he coached there, guys. He was the OC under Saban at one point. He said they're no longer going to be able to stockpile talent. And he said, quote, in my opinion, the dynasties are over. Alabama with Coach Saban, Kirby at Georgia. Mm. He said we're there. When they had rosters year in and year out, they would have a bunch of guys, a bunch of wins by 30 points in a conference. He says those days are done. Are we seeing blowouts like that consistently? Not anymore.
Well, I mean, you're always going to have some kind of, I guess, transition with Kalen DeBoer. How was that transition last year, Alabama fans?
Right.
Right now, you're feeling a mile high, and you know, a few weeks ago, you want to run them out of town after losing down in Tally. But I think there is some truth. There is truth in Lane's words, because you don't have the depth. Everything we've talked about with Georgia, there's a brain drain on your coaches. You know, Saban did a great job of replacing him. A lot of Georgia fans right now kind of lukewarm on Schumann, maybe lukewarm on Bobo. You know, do you have that the depth? You're not replacing that. You don't have like two. You had two defensive as far as depth. You had now two teams that could have started for anybody in the SEC that Kirby went back to back natties.
I agree.
You know, and then there's the dynamic playmakers. You know, you brought in all these guys in the transfer portal. What are you doing with them? That's what a lot of folks felt last year. Remember last year, guys couldn't make a catch. Now your quarterback's not seeing him when they're opening his own defense.
Lane Kiffin, by the way, said when he was at Alabama, and I'm paraphrasing, he said the coaches would be like, hey, go watch the outside linebackers. And he said there'd be six guys over there that were first-round picks. He said that's not going to happen anymore. And that's the part. I don't think he's wrong. By the way, he's 49-18 in six seasons at Ole Miss. Mike and I were talking off the line and saying, you consider Ole Miss to be a force now? Like, we used to look at Ole Miss as the team that could, if any given season they got a couple of right guys. Now, last year they were supposed to get to the playoff, Mike. They blew it. This team may be better. I don't know.
Right. And, you know, I said to Carl earlier, you know, Oklahoma's in the – now, granted, their quarterback's banged up now. They're top five. You know, top ten. You know, Oklahoma's here, you know, with a really good coach who gets defense, and they'll try to cobble it together offensively. Texas, they're all drawing from the same well.
That's right.
You know, in your backyard. So it's like, it doesn't mean doom and gloom. It just means the margin for error is so thin now for Georgia and everybody else.
All right, when we come back, are you going to do what I think you're going to do when it comes to Bobby Cox? Are you going to do this?
We're talking about Snitker here, okay? But when you talk about legacy, because he's so much like another guy, it's hard not to compare the two. And I will. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you really going to go here? Are you really going to do this? Because you know it's going to upset a lot of people, my friend.
Okay, you're goading me, so you're goading me. You want me to go down this road.
All right, before you do, I want to remind you that college football lives right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Saturday, 8 a.m., we get you started. College football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. WindowNation.com, Alumni Hall, guys, shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and all of the schools. It's where fans shop. Again, that is Saturday morning. John Furkey, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman are going to set you up. And then we got games. It's a doubleheader this weekend. Clemson at North Carolina, followed by Texas at Florida, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Go ahead and upset people.
No. It's just in the conversation because now we're talking about Brian Snicker's legacy. And I said it before. It's one of the greatest postseason runs by a manager we've ever seen. Whenever every decision, every button you push is on point. When to use Solaire, when to use Rosario, how to handle the night shift, when to get out of your starters into the night shift. Everything worked perfectly. And remember, it wasn't like it was a lights-out closer that year either. I mean, you had a – and every year, Brian Snicker, from the time he inherited a 68-win team from Gonzalez, took over this thing, they've never given him a stacked deck of great pitchers. Obviously, there was the turnaround, all the young studs come in, Acuna, Albies, et cetera. But if you look at the things he accomplished – he'd have 3/5 of a starting rotation. Alex would go get some stuff at the deadline, you know, and then you'd have to, you know, you'd have to balance. Okay, it's Tuki Toussaint, and it's Julio Teheran, and it's, you take your pitchers who were always on that constant yo-yo from Gwinnett to the show. He had to handle all of that. And then later on, there were all the injuries. He won a World Series without Ronald Acuna. You know, he had to deal with Acuna part two. You know, Ozzy out all this time. And never really given the financial wherewithal to compete with the truly elites, especially even in the own division. So I think Snicker did a better job, based on a smaller sample size, than Bobby Cox. And both are loved. And Bobby is a sacred cow, and I get it. And I had a guy going, how dare you? I didn't say Bobby Cox
is a... How dare you?
I'm not saying he's a bad manager. I'm saying Brian Snicker did more with less. And Bobby Cox did less with more. Because for 11 years, he had 3 Cy Young Award winners. He had Glavine, Smoltz, Maddux. He had so much pitching one year, they couldn't even use guys like Denny Nagel in a best of 5. Snicker had an endless loop. It's like, do I go with Ian Anderson or, I got Folty.
How dare you?
Or Newcomb, you know what I mean? Or a Gausman or a Dallas Keuchel. I mean, yes. And it's, I mean, Bobby's legacy has nothing to do with my 2 cents with. I'm just giving you my opinion. I think Snicker is one of the great managers in baseball. You wish he'd gotten an earlier start, got a chance late in life to do it as a lifer in this organization. But I just think the way he handled injuries. Look, you can go season by season, Carl. Not every year was perfect. I mean, 19, we probably should have gone with Max Fried in game 1 against the Cardinals. Remember, that was the year he was used out of the bullpen. That was the year Folty blew us up. Remember that game we had doing the show?
Gave up 10 runs in like 2 innings.
My only criticism of Snit was how he embraced the new generation and not supporting Ronald Acuna. When Don Mattingly was throwing at him, when the Cardinals threw at him, speaking of 2019. But I mean, but in the grand scheme of things, that's kind of nitpicking.
Did he upset you?
Because you and I talked about Acuna a lot under Snicker's
managership. Yes. Yeah, no doubt. And look, that was a weird relationship. I think it was weird because you had Acuna, when he was hurt, coming out publicly and tweeting and putting stuff on social media, apologizing for it. I think in his own way, he was calling out, hey, what's good for the goose? Why not everybody else? But I'll say this, to your point, I agree with you. I think Snicker, from just what he had to deal with, guys, he didn't have 3 guys that went to the Hall of Fame on any pitching staff that he dealt with here. Not 3. So, Brian Snicker, for what he was able to accomplish in his 9 years, the divisional titles, the run to the World Series, the multiple playoff runs, congratulations, man. Job well done, Snit. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. We love you. I'm glad he's going to steal. And look, I think, you know, Double A said this, Alex Anthopoulos is going to be a Brave for life. He is. But he turned 70 October 17th. I don't know about you. But when you've spent 50 years doing what you love and then you got a chance to get to the mountaintop, get out while you still can enjoy a little bit. And I'm not telling you that Snicker didn't enjoy managing because you saw how emotional he was. And I want to play a couple of things for you because he spoke this morning and when they made this announcement. But I also know, and we know this, if you follow Snit and this team and his family, loves his grandkids, loves hanging out with his family. Mm-hmm. Do that, man. Because you did this really well, and now we've got to go find somebody who can put this together, and hopefully we can make another run at a World Series. He did do more with less. Here's Brian Snicker talking about it was always about the players, not him.
I never thought I'd hoist a trophy or be around a group of guys that that makes this so special because it's, you know, it's about the players, and we've been fortunate here to have probably the greatest group of players, coaches, the whole building is, and I said this after we won the World, it literally takes a whole building to do something special, and I've been blessed to be around great people within the Atlanta Braves organization. Everybody in that clubhouse, the player, it's about the players. God, the relationships and the friendships that I'll have the rest of my life for that group or the players. And it's so special.
I'll say this, and there's nothing wrong with your radio. He got emotional, so it sounds like he drops out. And then he says, as he's emotional, I'm setting this up for you as you can just visualize as you're, listening. He says, GD. I'll let you take it from there. And he literally is holding back from just like right. That moment where you realize this is it. Damn it. Okay. And he's trying to express himself. So your radio, there's nothing wrong with your radio or however you're listening digitally. It that's dropping out because that's what happened. Brian Snicker is not going to return as a Braves manager. When did he realize this? Big O, let's play this because he talked about that as well. Like, was this known 3-6 months ago?
And this is the truth, until like the last 3 weeks of this season, I know you can ask the coaches, I talked about, this being my last year, but when you're sitting in this seat, you're in the heat of the battle, I don't know, and I said after, I'm going to need a little time after that last out to really decide what I want to do. And and it was after I got home and I got to decompress a little bit that, I did decide that this is the right move. Because I said, if you wait to retire till you're ready to retire, you never will.
Yep. And again, you and I were wondering whether they're going to kind of, not force him out, but maybe have the conversation and go a certain way. Alex Anthopoulos did say, if he's a man of his word, that he would have, it'd be Snicker's decision, right? Yep. So he will be around the team. And now the question, of course, we'll have all week and into the, I would imagine, as Carl said, maybe it doesn't happen between now and a World Series. Maybe it does. Maybe they already have a candidate or a couple on their list. Generally, if you sit next to the skipper, you get to be the skipper. So that would mean Walt Weiss would be the guy that we might get the first crack at it. We've heard a number of names, Schumacher, the Marlins manager. That would be going outside the team. I doubt they do that. Mark DeRosa would be splitting the difference, right, as far as a guy with a tie to the organization but wasn't on the bench next to Snit. But I think there's a couple of good options out there. I would personally love to see a fresh approach, but I'm not sure that's in the offing from the organization.
Yeah, I thought Brandon Gaudin did a really good job of talking about a few potential candidates. And again, he said, I don't know, anything. But there are some guys that have been with the team or the organization for a short period of time that are now managers or are now in the league in that capacity that you might want to talk to. But I think you throw a wide net out there, Mike. You don't have to just hire somebody because they're here. I think you throw a wide net out there. But I'll say this. This is the cool thing. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And he loved Henry Aaron. When Henry Aaron passed away, Brian Snicker professed his love for this man. And part of it is because when he was in the minor leagues as a minor league catcher, it was Henry Aaron, who was a Braves executive, who said, you got potential as a coach. And when Snick could have just walked away and not done a damn thing the rest of his career as far as baseball is concerned, he said, Henry Aaron released me, and then he offered me a coaching job. And that changed his life. So my point to this, guys, is sometimes you don't know who sees talent in you because you don't know if Henry Aaron saw this in him, Mike, and he knew that Snicker would go on to do these great things that he was able to accomplish. But, guys, we're talking about joining the Braves in 1977. That's why he's been with this organization 49 years. And some people might say, well, why not just get him to 50? It's his decision, right? He's walking away. You don't think that if he wanted to come back for year 50 with the team, knowing the team as well as he does, that he probably could have. But I just feel like, Mike, there's a brain drain. There's a mental thing to this. 162 guys is a lot.
Right, and we talked about it this year. And again, some guys that people don't like any controversy. I don't like the, it seemed like, not that he was disinterested, but like it was a horrible start to the season. Nothing he could do about it. He's not up there swinging the bat. As guys got used to the new hitting instructor, and we talked about, guys who eventually came on in the second half. But, you know, I didn't like the Kelnick situation. But again, that's and when you take his career in total, it's a pimple on his butt. Who cares, right? This guy was an amazing money manager. I think if you look at any manager over the course, if you're watching 162, to your point, you're going to complain about this.
You are.
Well, that. But I still think this guy did more with less. And to me, that matters. He had to go look at the starting pitching year after year. Look at some of the closers he had to deal with, you know. Mark Melanson was on the bump back in the early days. So, I mean, I just think he's a much like Bobby Cox. He's beloved. And to say that he's better than Bobby is not a knock on Bobby. I just thought he was more clutch. If you give him some of the resources Bobby had, maybe he would have done more. It's not Snicker's fault that the Freddie Freeman's camp wanted a 6-year or they decided that Dansby wasn't worth more money. What hurt this franchise is you lose your playing personality and leadership in that clubhouse. And you can't put that on Snicker. You know, it wasn't his fault that Freddie and Dansby weren't here. I think if they're here, I think things are different. I think if Max Fried is paid, he's, you know, things are different. But that's not his, that's beyond his control.
All right. It's something we'll be watching along with other moves from the Braves. Now, this is something else. Just add it to the list. If you have things that you want this team to accomplish this offseason, and it's a big offseason, guys, we can't just stay pat and, again, run it back. And think everything's going to be okay.
Well, you didn't go to the playoffs this year. You barely, and that was, I thought last year of all the amazing jobs Snicker did with all the injuries and all, what he had, like, we did the numbers. It was like 40 some, I lost track how many different lineups he used last year just to make the wild card. Obviously, they were in over their head against San Diego, but that's a hell of a job. That was National League Manager of the Year worthy.
It really was. The guy I was thinking of, and I couldn't remember, is Stephen Vogt. That's the guy that was mentioned, and I think that. It's an interesting name. Don't know where they're going to go, but that's a guy I definitely want to talk to. I know he was liked when he was here with the clubhouse and in this Braves organization. All right, man. Coming up, Turtle's got a full show for you tomorrow. By the way, Day-Day, we got a couple special guests, including the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley. She's going to join us tomorrow. Always love her. And Mike Griffin from Dog Nation as we continue to talk about the Dogs. They got Kentucky this week. Look, we spent a lot of time on Alabama. They can't get caught sleeping against Kentucky. I don't care how bad you think they are. They got to show up Saturday, and I think the Dogs will. But a lot of conversation there tomorrow. More on what's going on around the NFL as well. These injuries are affecting a lot of stuff. And you fantasy football players, you guys know this.
Right.
I mean, these lineups are like, oh, I need to change a guy out. So we'll get into all of that and much more.
It's a bad bye week for this man right here, man.
You got a bunch of guys on bye?
Mm-hmm.
That's an L.
Yeah. I got to bench Jamar Chase.
Why? Oh, no production.
No delivery system. No delivery.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That Jake Browning was a nice story. It was.
It was. And you probably took Chase early in the draft. Yeah.
They're talking first overall.
Oh, God. They're talking about Jameis Winston to Cincinnati. And you know what Jameis will do, and I love the guy. But it'll be like a Fitzpatrick. He'll have a couple of games. He'll look good. And then he'll come back to what he is. You know, and that's probably not going to get them in the playoffs.
No, it's not, Mike.
Until Burrow's back.
And that's what, December they're saying, right? December? All right, man, we got to get out of here and clear our throat! Big shout-out to our guest Brandon Gauden today for jumping on. West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. All the interviews online at Odyssey.com. Make sure you subscribe to Dukes and Bell. That way you get all of our exclusive content. And you can stay up on everything that's going on. Turtle's got the night show, 6 o'clock. Stay tuned. He's got a lot to get to as well. And by the way, Cubs won the first game yesterday, top of the ninth right now, Padres winning 3-0. It's going to go, it looks like, to another game in this wild card series. All right, we'll see what the Yankees do and all that tomorrow as well. We'll talk about that, even though our team's not in it. As Mike said, Max Fried got pulled last night, and people are like, Boone needs to go. All right, man. Mike Bell, we got to move, man. Clear your throat.
Yeah, you just led me to it. Aaron Boone getting killed by New York media, and with good reason. Max Fried's arm wasn't going to fall off with pitches 103 to 112, but the magic number, oh, he's a 102, against the bottom of the Red Sox lineup? Let him pitch. I mean, I'll never understand this. This is why you manage the innings and you manage the arm to get you for moments like this. These are best of three, Carl, not best of seven. So, yeah, Aaron Boone, boo. And this might be, finally, for a lot of Yankee fans, the move, if they don't make it, that gets him got.
Ooh, I'll keep it baseball. And I just simply will say, for Braves country, Brian Snicker, thank you. We appreciate what you accomplished. We celebrated a World Series with you, and hopefully we'll celebrate more. But for everything you did for the Braves organization, more importantly for the fans, we appreciate you. Enjoy your time. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're too sensitive, man. Jeez.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.